Eventually, Letitia left. Hers was not an escape shrouded in mystery. John knew precisely where she had gone. Consider the advertisement he posted in April 1739 in attempt to reclaim her. Besides stating Letitia's name and describing her as a Negro girl, it mentioned only one other bit of information about her, that she was bought of Mr. James Gordon. The elaborate descriptions which fill freedom seeker notices of clothing, appearances, mannerisms, skills, origins, and linguistic capabilities. These are missing entirely. John needed to do just one thing in order to ensure Letitia's capture. Associate the girl with James. For Letitia had returned to the Gordons. Determined to punish the Gordons for the girl's escape, the angry shopkeeper soon filed a lawsuit against James. John claimed that he had lost Letitia and James had found her, speaking about the girl as if she were an object that had been misplaced, or perhaps an ignorant beast, a cow that had strayed from the herd, or a sheep that had lost its way. But Letitia, for her part, knew exactly where she was. She had lived in Boston for at least the past 6 years, and she was intimately familiar with the neighborhood. Letitia had not gotten lost. She had made a conscious decision to leave, to walk 3/4 of a mile from one Boston home to another. Why had Letitia abandoned her present enslaver for her former one? Depositions filed in court reveal that the girl was sick, grievously so, and that she attributed her ailments to mistreatment in the Wass household. A neighbor recalled in graphic detail the extent of Letitia's suffering. She sat down in our kitchen without saying anything for a considerable time, this neighbor wrote, being choked with a violent fit of coughing. Letitia vomited as well. This too was described as violent, and she had lost her appetite almost entirely. As the neighbor put it, Letitia had scarce any stomach at her victuals. She was described by another as much emaciated, with a violent cough, a girl in a state of genuine consumption. When a neighbor asked Letitia how long she had suffered from her racking cough, the girl answered, "A good while," and she explained that she had been ill ever since her mistress cut off her wool. Letitia, apparently, was the victim of the forcible bodily manipulation that enslaved people suffered in many times and places. John's wife had shorn the girl's hair, clearly against her will. And this maltreatment, as Letitia saw it, had consequences that went beyond physical appearance. The shearing had made Letitia dangerously ill. When the ailing girl showed up on the Gordon stoop, her former enslaver summoned a doctor in hopes of treating her. Letitia, though, remained trapped by the fact of John's ownership. The doctor refused even to dispense advice because he did not have the permission of the girl's proper master. And though the Gordons made an effort to hide Letitia in their home, secreting her in an upper chamber, Letitia was forced back to the Wass home before the end of April. A heartbreaking deposition recalled that the girl was afraid to go in upon her return and that her old comrade, Prince, had to beg John on Letitia's behalf not to beat her for absconding. Head shorn, lungs bloodied, and body wasted, Letitia did not live long in the Wass household. By July, her lifeless body lay in an area burial ground. If anyone memorialized the place of her interment, Prince perhaps, or Affy, or maybe the Gordons, their marker does not survive.